This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You know, I've been in this industry for a long, long time. And you know, I got my start right there in Memphis, Tennessee. So what better person than to give a little intro to the only podcast in the UK that specifically talks about Memphis wrestling. That's right. We're talking about Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Folks, sit back, grab you a cup of hot tea. Hope you enjoy it. Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast.
Got a doggone good looking show lined up.
This is the future, baby, and Jimmy Hart's here. You're not in the same caliber as I am.
Who's the greatest wrestler in the world, and why am I?
You're acting like a hoodlum now. Come on, quit it.
Thank you. Hello again, wrestling fans, and welcome to the studios of the Old Bakery as we get ready to give you another exciting week here at the UK's number one and only Memphis Wrestling Related podcast. We are the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. I am, as always, your host, Mr. Luke Jennings, hoping the podcast finds you fine and dandy. We are playing a little bit, once again, we're playing some music at the beginning of the show, and that is because as we are recording this, Monday the 20th of March, Andy Kaufman has been... It's been reported, I don't think it's confirmed as of yet, but it's been reported by many, many sources that Andy Kaufman is going into the WWF Hall of Fame Celebrity Wing this year. So I'm very much deserved. And at the end of the show, we're going to be playing you the full-length, uncensored segment from the David Letterman Show from July of 1982, which features Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman. So stick around at the end of the show and you will be able to hear that in its entirety. Please do not forget to follow us on Twitter at MemphisCast, where you will be able to get news and updates on this and our other show, The Monday Night Project. And also hit the subscribe button here on the network, the place to be, Wrestling Network, home of great shows such as Talking WCW, NWA Saturday Special, PTBN's Main Event, NWO Crook and Roll, and so many other great shows that are released on a near daily basis. You can follow the network on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. ProWrestlingTees.com/MemphisCast will get you a merchandise if you so wish. This week, we have finally reached the end. The end of 1982. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are covering the 25th of December, 1982. Now, before we start, the episode length is 45 minutes. I don't know if we're going to be having matches or if it's going to be a recap show. I don't know because, as you know, I do not watch ahead. But I can tell you that this is the last show of 1982. We have had a roller coaster year. It's been a great year. I'm definitely looking forward to finally hitting 1983. It's going to be things are plenty happening in the Memphis territory. Last week we covered the 18th of December 1982, where we saw new champs, dolls, fabs, and a royal package, as well as all the usual awesomeness from the Memphis territory. Now, before we head down to ringside, let's have a quick gander as what's been happening this week in the world of professional wrestling. On the 19th of December 1982, the infamous Ric Flair versus Jack Veneno match takes place in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Jack Veneno was a local major star, and fans in Santo Domingo were so hot for the match that Ric Flair changed the finish of the match in order to avoid a riot and allowed Jack Veneno to pin him for the NWA World title. The match was scheduled to end at a 60-minute time limit draw, but Ric Flair called an audible at the 17-minute mark and had Veneno win with his finisher, a short pile driver. The decision was later reversed or not acknowledged by the NWA, despite Veneno's clean pinfall. Also on the same day, Victor Jovica defeated Roddy Piper by disqualification. The show draws a reported 13,000 fans. And there is an actual picture here that I'm now looking at with Jack Veneno posing with the NWA belt. So that happened on the 19th. On the 22nd of December, the UWA held its 5th anniversary show in Mexico. Such stars as Veneno number 4 are on the show. I'm not even going to attempt to butcher the names. There's 1, 2 and 3 Veneno are there. There's no other real names. Negro Casas is there. Fereza Guerrera is there. I don't recognise any other names, really. Like we've said many times, if you want to hear someone just spiel off Japanese and Mexican names like they're nothing, go and listen to Chris Zellner and David Bixenspan on Between the Sheets. And then on this day, there's two shows, there's two Christmas Day shows here. On this day, the 25th of December, the Omni, Atlanta, Georgia, 13,000. Witness Stan Hansen and Tito Santana and Andre the Giant defeating the Great Kabuki, Super Destroyer and Masked Superstar in a steel cage hair match. Butch Reed defeats Buzz Sawyer. Russian chain match. Ivan Koloff defeats Paul Wonderful. The Moondogs defeat the Samoans by disqualification. Tommy Rich defeats the Iron Sheik. Johnny Rich defeats Chick Donovan. Lawyer Joe Lightfoot battles Les Thornton to a draw, and Terry Gibbs defeated Ken Timms. Also on this day, the 25th of December 1982, the World Class Championship Wrestling Organization holds its Star Wars event in Dallas, Texas, the Reunion Arena. 12,000 witness. Brian Adias defeating Frank Dusik. Lone Eagle defeating Little Tokyo. Jose Lothario and Al Madrill defeating Magic Dragon and Tony Charles. Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy and David Von Erich defeat Tom Steele and Mike and Ben Sharp to become the first world-class six-man tag team champions. Von Erich was a substitute for Buddy Roberts, who was given a share of the title. World-class American champion Kevin Von Erich defeats King Kong Bundy by disqualification. NWA world champion Ric Flair defeats Kerry Von Erich in a no disqualification steel cage match. Michael Hayes was the special referee, and this is the infamous match where Michael Hayes slammed the cage door in Kerry's face, which started the Von Erichs versus Freebirds feud, a feud that would last quite a long time and would be the height of the promotion. World-class Texas champion David Von Erich defeats Bill Irwin. Ken Mantell won a pole battle royal. Also in this match were the Spoiler, Tony Charles, Frank Dusek, Ben Sharp, Tom Steele, King Kong Bundy, Bill Irwin, Mike Sharp, Bugsy McGraw, Al Madrill, Jose Leferio, David Von Erich, Brian Adias, and Magic Dragon. And that brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to the episode we have been waiting for. We are about to witness the 25th of December 1982. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 97 of the UK's number one and only Memphis Wrestling Related podcast, the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Please enjoy.
Everybody, this is Lance Russell, and we are not along ringside, as you very well can see. We're enjoying a very lovely holiday setting, and because of the holiday setting, you may think that we're going to sit around and sing Christmas carols. Not a bad idea, but this is a special championship wrestling program, and you're going to have an opportunity to enjoy the setting with us. But in addition to that, we have some great action tape that I want you to take a look at. And one of the things that we're really looking forward to in a very special way is to meet some of the great talent that you've seen on championship wrestling. The King will be here, the Superstar, the Fabulous One, Southern Heavyweight Champ Terry Taylor, the Dutchman will be along. All of them we're going to be talking to during this program right now. We're going to take the chance to talk to promoter Eddie Marlin and say happy holiday season to you, Eddie.
Thank you, Lance, and I'd like to say a happy holiday season to all the fans out there. Wish them all the best and a Merry Christmas.
Golly, that's a nice greeting, Eddie, and I do want to say this to you, too. As you know, I've been around here a long time, but never have I seen the likes of the talent that you've accumulated during 1982 and right now here in championship wrestling. It has been a spectacular year.
Well, Lance, we're really hoping that hadn't been anything. Just wait till 1983 and we'll really beef it up.
Okay, hey, stick around because we're going to be meeting a lot of the guys and seeing some tremendous action thing. Right now, we're going to take time out. We'll be back. We'll be talking with the King in just a moment.
So it's going to be a highlight video, highlight episode by the looks of it. We're going to, I'm guessing it sounds like a studio, but I think it's Jerry Jarrett's house. It's a nice couple of sofas, there's a nice mahogany table, nice lamp here. And we're having a good festive time. We're going to be looking at some of the best bits of 1982. We're going to be speaking to some of the stars of 1982. So we're in for an eventful episode. So we're seeing a Jerry Lawler coming up, coming into the Mid-South Coliseum, rising from the stage. He's walking into the arena, mobbed by the police, so he doesn't get mobbed by the crowd. Elvis Presley playing in the background. Jerry Lawler in a very luxurious cape and crown combination. This is some early Jerry the King footage. This is dropping some elbows on someone. Joe LeDuc. Joe Lawler off the top rope. High flying. High crossbody there on Joe LeDuc. 1, 2, 3. He gets the. Nope. Yeah, is that. It's like a fucking five can there, isn't it? Joe Lawler now coming in on a high wire. Shades of Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 12. Joe Lawler, the absolute star of the territory. We had that time, 1981, where Joe Lawler wasn't here, and you could tell that Joe Lawler wasn't here. The promotion was a bit dodgy, but Paul Ellering definitely held us through that time. But Joe Lawler is here and is here to stay. His He's been making roads in Florida. He's been over to Georgia. I don't know if he's been there yet, but I know for sure he goes to Japan as well. He's now seeing footage of him against, I think, Jimmy Valiant? No, it was Austin Idol. I think it's Austin Idol. Oh! Takes out Jimmy Hart on the apron. Jerry Calhoun ducked. One, two, three! Another match. One for Jerry Lawler. I think it's Austin Idol. Seeing Jerry come down the ring once again, crown adoring in the head, adorning the head. Getting mobbed by the crowd, as you'd expect, being the hometown hero. We will join us each and every week, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll be able to see what 1983 has for Jerry Lawler. Oh, excuse me. Just drop someone with the right hand. Now going up to the middle rope inside. And drops a flying fist. One, two, three. Another match won for Jerry Lawler. I think we'll be seeing some new faces as well come through the area. One, Randy Savage will be here in 1983. Do we see the Rock and Roll Express as well? I'm not sure. I shall have a quick look. I shall have a quick butchers at my book. So 1983. So we've got the Galaxians are going to be here. We've got Steve-O's going to be the Bruise Brothers. Adrian Street still here. And Jerry Lawler is here with Eddie Marlin and Lance Russell.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun just sitting around rapping on a very special show, and it certainly wouldn't be complete without a very special guy who's had a dynamite record not only in 1982, but son of a gun for a long, long time. Jerry, are those the good words?
Well, that's just fine. Yes, 82 has been a very good year for me, and I need to right off the bat thank the fans for that, because, you know, fan support is so important and any kind of sport, and they've been behind me 100%, and I want to take this opportunity to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and the best of all in 1983.
You know, Eddie and I were talking a little bit ago, and it would be just sensational if 52 weeks out of the year everything was on a high and it was all good and all that, but by golly, it just doesn't work that way. There are some lows that go in the life, and I guess that's what really makes you appreciate the highs. And as much as it may pain you for me to say this, the King had some low points, but I'll tell you, not too many of them. I mean, he had a very, very good year.
Well, that's right. You know, I think back on some of the big matches, and one of them happened right here on TV when I went against Ric Flair. I felt like beat Ric Flair right here on television in front of everybody. Then, of course, I had situation with Nick Bockwinkel where I lost the Southern title to him and then was fortunate enough to regain that from Nick Bockwinkel, who is was at the same time the world heavyweight champion. And so I've had some really good moments. Then again, though, you've got to stop and think about it seems like sometimes I think, Lance, I look in a mirror and I can't see it, but it seems like I've got a big red bullseye painted on me, because I feel like I'm the target of every kind of wrestler that not only Jimmy Hart, but now Jimmy Cornette can search around the country.
How about the talent, this guy? You know, when I first heard, and I think maybe you and some of the others had the same, when I first heard that Cornette wanted to be a manager, that's exactly what I did. I said, hey, you got to be kidding. Picture taker, okay, manager in wrestling, but I'll be a son of a gun if he hadn't come up with some talent.
Well, money talks, Lance.
Oh,
and
boy.
He's been spreading it around, and you're right. He's come up with some very, very tough competition. I mean, guys like this Apocalypse. He had Crusher Broomfield. He's us this exotic Adrian Street,
which this guy is
something else, I'm telling you. And like I said, I feel like sometimes that I'm the target and everybody's after me. But with a little luck and a little help from Eddie Marlin, of course, maybe I'll make it through 1983.
Well, I can tell you that it won't get any easier in 1983. They'll still be aiming for that bullseye in there. And in a way, it's a tribute to the fact that you have met more major world champions and have defeated them than any other wrestler in the United States. And I could, you know, get going, and I know I don't want to bore you with Terry Funk, Dory Funk, Jack Briscoe.
Go ahead and bore me.
Are you getting bored?
Not yet.
Okay. But it is true, and it's something that I think you got to figure as a tribute in there, and it's an honor to have people after you. It may not be the best thing for your health,
but the fact
of the matter is they know that if they beat the King right away, they got recognition in there. But it does have to be uncomfortable because guys like the sheep herders, for instance.
Absolutely.
The New York Dolls, they got their ears out. They want to use any way they can to get a piece of that frame.
Well, that's true. And like you say, 83 doesn't look like it's starting off, it's going to be any less competitive because not only the guys like the sheep herders, but there's a little matter of Terry Taylor, who's
now the Southern Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. And Terry's a nice guy and a good friend, and but he's got something that I'd like to have.
I don't know how this is going to make you sleep, but Eddie told us just a little bit ago that he's going to make 1983 even tougher with tougher talent than 82.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
Jerry, I got a lot of guys coming in. I want to rush you out of here, but we have a lot of the start.
Wait a minute, Lance. You mean you're going to have other people besides me on here?
As a matter of fact, I hate that come as a shock. We're going to have to get out of here.
Well, I got something else I'd like them to see, and if you don't plan to break
that
risk.
Okay, let's take a look at it. We're going to see it right now. Nobody does it any better than the King. There is no question in my mind about it. You take a look, and I think you're going to agree to it. Be sure.
Thank you.
Another Jerry Lawler video package coming up. No one does it better. So like we said, 1983, we've got the Rock and Roll Express coming. We've got the Bruise Brothers. We're going to still be seeing the likes of Bill Dundee, Dutch Mantel, Jerry Lawler. They're going to be here on a weekly basis. But we've got new talent coming in and out of the area, so that's going to be something to look forward to. Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Valiant got double backdropping Joe LeDuc there. I don't think that was from 1982, but so I've seen footage of Jerry Lawler taking a whooping, but still kicking ass as only Jerry Lawler can. And obviously we are revolutionizing wrestling here in Memphis with these music videos. Like one Jim Cornette said recently, Memphis was doing it a good 5 years before MTV was. Especially last week when we saw that green screen that just blew my mind. Absolutely amazing. If you haven't already, make sure you sign up to the Crispy Lettuce Google Drive. You can follow him on Twitter at Crispy Lettuce. You can also follow him on YouTube, Armstrong Alley. If it wasn't for his hard work of restoring wrestling from tape to digital format, this show would definitely not be happening as it is now. So make sure you follow him on Twitter at Crispy Lettuce, K-I-K-R-I-S-P Lettuce.
nobody does do it better, King. I gotta tell you, I'm just looking forward to 1983. It's gonna be another one of those dynamite years.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you. And don't go away, because we do, in fact, have some more of Eddie and I and everybody's friends, as a matter of fact. Bill Superstar Dundee is gonna be here in just a minute.
Laughing all the way, bells on bobtails ring.
A music video for Bill Dundee. Seeing Bill Dundee come to the ring in his jumpsuit, surrounded by the cops here at Memphis, entering the Mid-South Coliseum for another battle. The Tenacious Bulldog, the little Australian star, going up against numerous people in 1982. Footage of him against Paul Ellering. So that's not 1982. As we've seen, Bill Dundee, a very tenacious athlete. When he was in those tag matches earlier in the year, when he'd arch his back and scurry on the back of his head to get the tag. Seen footage of him against Tony Charles. I think Bill Dundee's booking at this time, and I know he will go on to do Mid-South pretty, I think, next year. I think he spends half the year in Mid-South, half the year in Memphis. He and Jerry Lawler would share the booking of the territory. Bill Dundee, I think it's Stan Lane, before Stan was a fabulous one. Bill Dundee still with us. He is the father of JC Ice. He's also a former manager to Lord Steven Regal in WCW. Got a bit of a mixed reputation about him in the business, but you can't doubt that he's a heck of a worker in his prime. Seeing footage now of him going up against Dutch Mantel in the tag match. Teaming with, not sure who. Sunset Flip there. Who is that? Someone with, I think that's Austin Idol again. Bill Dundee now with the schoolboy. 1, 2, 3. Another victory for the Australian. His team's been with Tommy Rich. Yeah, I think it was Austin Idol and Dutchman, because they won the titles, didn't they? Yeah. Tommy Rich, he's gone to other places, but he will be back in the future, as will Austin Idol.
All right, now we're going to liven the party up right here. Come on in here, superstar.
My golly.
Bill Dundee. Delighted to have you here on this special holiday. Yeah, have a chair right here if you would, please, Billy, and just grab that microphone.
All righty.
We have been sitting around talking about the year that has just passed, and it's kind of a year for you that had some high spots, and it also had some of those low spots we were talking to Jerry about a little bit earlier, Billy.
Yeah, Lance, it started off like a house of fire. Tommy Rich and I won the World Tag Team belt, and it looked like it was going to be a great year. Then Jimmy Hart and his whole first family got to me and dislocated my shoulder. So that put me out 4, 5, 6 weeks or something. You know, and as any athlete knows, whether you play ball or you wrestle, it doesn't really matter what you do. Once you get hurt, you lose all the competitive edge, you lose all your timing, and you go to start a little old comeback. So I just got over that. Then I went to the gym one day and going to a, whatever you want to call it, with a bunch of goons in the parking lot. Yeah. They busted my eye, and that was another 5, 6, couple of months out of that. So the whole year, to me, just seemed like one big comeback. I'd just get going and get started rolling, and it would just, something would happen, and I'd be up for a little while. So I feel real good now, and I'm just looking forward to the new year.
Well, I know 1983 is really on your mind because we're certainly hoping that you don't come along with a situation like that. I think one of the things, Bill, that I admire the most is that even when you're in a situation where you had some of those situations, like the shoulder and so forth, you kept coming back. And that's the difference, because there's a lot of guys that would have just said, holy mackerel, what else can happen? And we're going to do it. We've always said that about that heart being bigger than the whole man in there. Listen, one of the great things about television is we can put aside the really bad moments. We do have some of the unpleasant moments maybe for you, but we got some great moments too. Let's sit here and take a look at them right now, okay? Look.
Another video package of Bill Dundee. This is from when he got attacked by the First Family and had his shoulder separated. Just walking around the woods with his arm in a sling, riding a horse. I believe I would take a wild stab in the dark and say this is Jerry Jarrett's ranch out in Hendersonville. In fact, you're going to sweep pressure, going to come off the top rope to the outside as Bobby Eaton and Jimmy Hart wail away on him. He was out for quite a while. Oh! Taking out Bobby Eaton with a 2x4. He also had a one injury he had was like a broken eye socket from a brawl that he had with some people in a restaurant that turned out to be obviously we didn't know then, but we found out in recent years that that was one Randy Savage, who was over in the Outlaw promotion ICW, run by his father Angelo Poffo. They were running mud shows out in Tennessee, and obviously they will come to fruition. I'm pretty sure late 1983 you will see more of them, those gentlemen, here in Memphis. It's got this, I think it's Willie Nelson music video for Bill Dundee riding a horse, teaming with Jerry Lawler, doing what he does best in the ring.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see that I'm no good without you?
He does a very good job of riding a horse with one hand. I can't ride a horse with stabilizers on, but he does a very good job of riding a horse with a broken arm.
And we put it all behind us with that tape right there. That's a 1982, Billy. How do you see 1983?
Well, Lancer, I believe that luck, whether it be good or bad, runs in cycles, and I've had my share over this year of bad luck, so I just think good luck's going to come to Bill Dundee in 1983. So I'd just like to take this opportunity to wish the happy holiday season to all the nice folks out there that stuck by me through the good and the bad times, and we'll see you in 83.
Okay. Superstar, you're on a roll. When you're hot and stay that way in 83. We're going to be back with the number one citizen from Oil Trough, Texas. Just a minute.
Cowboy.
We've now got a video package for one Dutch Mantell. Wailing away on his Chick Donovan here in the ring. A double karate thrust to the throat. One, two, a three. I think Willie Nelson again, I think. So we're seeing this video package for the mayor of Oil Trough, Texas. He's got his own podcast out there, Storytime with Dutch, out on YouTube, WSI Interviews, I believe. He's also prevalent on Twitter. Recently been having a spat with one Ric Flair. Both men have held up their hands and apologised to each other, and things are back to being okie dokie with the Dutchman and old Nature Boy himself. Dutchman still taking care of business in the ring. Oh, lovely back suplex there on this individual. I think it's Pat Hutchinson, I think. One, two, three. Dutch Mantel now against another opponent. Oh, Irish whips him into the ropes. Big stomp to the gut. Picks him up. And, oh, just a forearm smash to the side of the face. Nothing classy about it. Irish whip now by Dutch. Oh, big back elbow. And this poor sap picks him back up. Oh, just a straight kick to the ear. Goes beyond, goes for the big back suplex. Folds him up like an accordion, if you will. Picks him up, just a slam back down again. Dutch Mantel now off the ropes. Drops the big elbow. Und das Jess. Dutch Mantel with another victory. Been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams, sadly in search of. Oh, big clothesline there by Dutch. Pretty sure this is Willie Nelson. If you listen to him, My World, Jeff Jarrett's podcast, they, a few months ago, did an episode on Dutch Mantel. You learn a lot about the Dutchman from his time in and out of the ring. Definitely worth a listen if you have access to the back catalogue.
Oil Trough, Texas. Dutch, happy holiday season to you. Good to have you. Glad to have you right here. Oh, you guys, will you quit? Come on over here, Dutch. I don't know about these two guys. Dutch Mantel. Well, we've been sitting around talking a lot about it, Dutch. 1982 is just about in the sack for us here, all done, tied up. Been a really unusual year for you in 1982. Let me do a quick recap. You were in on the world tag titles, won them, turned around and lost them. Son of a gun, you turned right back, won the Southern heavyweight title, lost it. Didn't stop him, turned right back and won the NWA Mid-America heavyweight title and lost it. Then he wins the Mid-America heavyweight title back again and lost it. Has been an unusual year.
Well, what you're trying to say, Lance, it's been a roller coaster year for the Dutchman. I hope 1983 is a good a year as 1982. Now, I've had a lot of highs and lows, but I think I've had a lot more highs than I've had lows.
You have had such a spectacular year, and it is so unusual for any one wrestler to be in on that many championships. Forget the lows. We're not talking about those right now. Those. Holiday season, okay. What would be the highlight of 1982 for you?
Well, like you say, it's been a roller coaster year, but I think the high part of the whole year of 1982 was when I won the Southern Championship from Jerry Lawler right there, sitting right there. And the reason that, now I'm not to say that the world title is any less or anything like that, and I was happy when I had that. And the Middle America title, I'm not taking anything away from that. But when I won the Southern title, it was a very happy moment in my career, because that was when I had to reach back and grab whatever I had left and come up. And when I won that, I was very happy, because a lot of the people, I guess because they liked Jerry so much, a lot of the people were against me. And I had, it's easy to win when you got everything going for you, but it's very, very difficult to win when you got a lot of things against you. And I think the night that I won the Southern title from Jerry Lawler, I think I had everything going against me. And when I had to reach back and grab,
you were the underdog going in.
I was the underdog.
Wait just a minute, will you, Jerry?
Wait just a minute. Now, you know, Dutch is saying he had everything going against him. He said all the fans were against him. That is not true, Dutch. You had fans for you. I heard both of them. Now, and I don't like to hear any boos at all, and I heard a couple that night. And then he says that he had to reach back. Now, when I think back on that night, Dutch, you couldn't have been more fortunate. I mean, the circumstances couldn't have been more in your favor, because you see, not only did I have to wrestle you that afternoon, then that very night, after losing the title to you, was the night that I got married on. See, two downers in one day. No, that's a joke. But what happened? See, was I had other things on my mind, Dutch. So you were very fortunate to win that title for me.
Jerry, okay, you've had your little say about it. Dutch, I think it is only fair that we at least, before I want to show the fans something, give you an opportunity to make a comment about it.
Well, the only thing I can say is, I'm going to make a little answer here, and it's to praise Jerry Lawler, because he has the uncanny ability with his piercing tongue and his sharp wit to turn a festive, merry occasion such as this into an outlandish nightmare. That's Jerry Lawler's attribute to the world. Much like the irrepressible Ebenezer Scrooge.
Thanks for the compliment.
Listen, before we get anything more going here, we are going to take a look at Dutch Mantell's highlight of 1982. We have the very same match between Lawler and Dutch Mantell, and let's take a now look, Jerry.
I'm not watching this, Jerry.
Look at it right
watch
now.
This.
You don't have to watch, Jerry. Okay. Just sit right where you are.
Highlight video that we've seen a few times during the end of the towards the end of the month, the end of the year, sorry. Jerry Lawler versus Dutch Mantell, where Dutch Mantell wins the title. Done to ABBA's The Winner Takes It All. Oh, Dutch Mantell with a couple of big right hands there. Jerry Lawler down and in trouble. Taking a kick in from the mayor of Oil Trough, Texas. So as we heard there, Jerry Lawler lost the title, and then he also got married the same day as well. So that's... I wonder if that actually happened. I doubt that's something that would be lied about, but it's very rarely that you hear about wrestlers... He did get married in 1982 to a lady called Paula. So... They divorced in 1991, and that was his second marriage. 1982, that's not going to be Brian's mother. So yeah, he did actually get married in 1982. So,
Jerry, open your eyes. It's all over with, you know. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, this holiday season of the year,
why don't you guys just bury the hatchet here from him, but not in each other?
Let me just say this. Okay. You know, after that match, he spent an hour and a half signing two autographs.
An hour and a half signing two autographs?
One guy didn't want it.
Come on, really.
I do. We'll shake hands here at Christmas.
Thank you very much for this time.
Well, I like you too, Jerry. Just a little more than going to the dentist as well.
Okay, Dutch. Listen, you guys, you sit right here, because just in a minute, we're going to bring out the newest of the sensational champions, the Southern Heavyweight Champ, Terry Taylor.
We're seeing the video package for Terry Taylor. He and Steve Kern going up against Bobby Eaton and Sweet Brown Sugar. We've seen this one a few times as well, because we had the interview 1 week with Terry Taylor before he was going up against Sabu. No, was it Apocalypse or Sabu? I don't know. The one week he was challenging for the title, and then the next promo we got, he'd won the title. So we're about to. He is going to be entering the Christmas festivities in a little while, talking to Lance and the lads. Big power slam there by Terry on one of the dolls. Big back body drop there on Rick McGraw. I think that's Dream actually. Now we're seeing for Jimmy against Sweet Brown Sugar, Mid-Taff Coliseum. In control of Sweet Brown Sugar. Bobby Eaton as well. Jacques Rougeau tagging with Terry Taylor. They were a formidable tag team for a few weeks. Around the end of November, December time. So we're getting quite a lot of video packages here. Which I thought we possibly would have done. I didn't think we would be getting any matches this week. But hopefully you are enjoying the show as we cover the 25th of December 1982, the final show of 1982. Next week we will be in 1983. And then our next milestone in a couple of weeks will be 100 episodes. Unbelievably, we're getting closer and closer to that milestone. And then don't forget, you can listen to our other show that we do, the Monday Night Project, which is basically this, but in 1993, WWF, Monday Night Raw, currently in the end of October. Are we in October? Middle of October, I think. Yeah, I think the episode coming up on Monday will be the middle of October. But last week we witnessed history as Razor Ramon and Rick Martel wrestled for the Intercontinental title, and we saw the WWF debut of the Rock and Roll Express. So that was fun, as the WWF is in the middle of its partnership with Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Oh! Terry Taylor against Crusher Broomfield here and Bobby Eaton. With a couple of quick schoolboys wins the match. I think we're going to be hearing from the Southern Heavyweight Champion.
I was about to say let's welcome Terry Taylor into the family here, but I was afraid I'd get beat up. The Southern Heavyweight Champ, Terry Taylor. We're delighted for you to join us on this holiday. Hi, Terry. Come on over here and grab this microphone if you would. Southern Heavyweight Champ. It's all so easy off the tongue, but it didn't come easy to this young man here. I got to tell you, Terry, with all due respect to your ability and everything else, you stunned the wrestling world when you won the AWA Southern Heavyweight title. A guy that has everything in the world going for him. He's a tremendous college athlete, and the professional wrestling has opened up. One of the great things I like about him, not only a nice guy, but are the impersonations that you do and keep us entertained in there. But really, it has been a sensational year. How's it feel to be the Southern Heavyweight Champ?
Well, Matt, if I can't take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas to everyone, Happy Holidays to all the guys here and everyone at home.
And how does it feel to be the Southern champion? I'm the greatest wrestler of all times. Oh, no. Muhammad Ali's the greatest boxer of all times. I'm the greatest of all times.
Great Muhammad Ali.
Well, let me tell you one thing right now, Pilgrim. You better hang on tight because the ride gets a little rough, Pilgrim.
Well, I may be the Dusty Rhodes also. It doesn't matter. I'm great.
Dusty.
I can beat people up on Big Dusty.
Just let me tell you something. Just a minute.
$1 million smile, everybody.
You guys.
All right, go ahead.
I just hope in 1983, when you wrestle me for the belt, your best impersonation as a wrestler, brother, because I told you all my bad luck's behind me and I'm coming to get the belt.
You
had to bring Roddy Piper.
Yeah. It's Christmas. Have a good time.
Let me see that mic point.
Everybody's doing impersonation. Let me see if you guys can guess who this is. I resent all of these lesser wrestlers out here making light and acting foolish about my belt. I don't like that kind of talk. Can you tell who that is?
Yeah, I know who that. You're doing the king without a question of a doubt. We're going to take time out and welcome the fabulous ones into the Holiday Championship Presley. Boy, you guys are killing each other with these impersonations. Everybody's doing something.
As per normal, we're getting the fabulous ones with their music video. Going to be posing and staring awkwardly at the camera and wearing not a lot of clothes and then a lot of clothes and then some clothes and then not a lot of clothes and awkward smiles, awkward looks. But they're definitely pulling off as a popular tag team here in the Memphis Territory, the fabulous ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane. They will be often duplicated, never replicated, I think, whatever the saying is. Like we said a few weeks ago, I've seen footage of Terry Taylor and Bobby Fulton somewhere, I think they're Georgia, and they were the fantastic ones in mid-Atlantic and Georgia and stuff. They basically, it's the same music video, it's the same poses, they're wearing the same bloody hair and everything. And obviously Bobby Fulton would then later team with Tommy Rogers to just be the Fantastics. And obviously Stan Lane would become future Midnight Express. He came back to the Memphis, I think the USWA, as a fabulous one with Steve Kern in late 1991. Before Steve Kern would go off to become Skinner in the WWF, and Stan Lane would, I think, just about then. No, Stan Lane then went to become a heavenly body in Smoky Mountain before he, I guess, retired from the ring a little bit and then joined the WWF in 1994-95 as a commentator. But he was a heavenly body with Tom Pritchard in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're going to be hearing from the fabulous ones, I guess, in a little bit. If you're not humming this song and strutting around the living room later, nothing will get you strutting around the living room. They come in dressed in their sparkly suits and top hats and everything.
Delighted to have you in with our holiday setting. These guys, everywhere they go, excitement. There is no question about it.
Come on, boy, have you tried the eggnog, Lance?
We brought Santa with us here.
Okay, like let me get
a rough night, doesn't he?
Had a rough night, yeah, indeed. Good thought. I just want to tell you that I knew Steve Kern, Stan Lane, two excellent wrestlers. They got together as the fabulous ones, and here. Steve, grab a hold of this
All
one.
Right.
Get him over Sandy's shoulder there. And the result was the most unbelievable tag team and just pure excitement everywhere. Why?
Well, let me say, Lance, that's no question in our mind when you ask us a question like that. The answer is going to be Jackie Fargo. That's the first thing. You know, Jackie Fargo has got to have probably the most charisma that ever come out of professional wrestling. And just a little bit of that has started to rub off on us. And each time Stan and myself come out to the ring, we feel Jackie Fargo. We feel the Fargo image. And that's what Jackie tries to portray in us. When he sits down and he talks to us, he's not a manager. He's an advisor. He gives us ideas. He gives us that feeling, that spark. He gave us our music. He's given us everything. And when we come out, we feel like the Fargos.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It has been magic, you guys together. No question about that, Stan.
Lance, all my 27 years, I'm sure Steve's too, have been magic, but 1982 has been the best year. Let me just tell all the fans this. To hang up your Christmas stocking, turn out your light. The fabulous ones might be coming down your chimney tonight.
All right. Okay, we've enjoyed the holiday show, and thanks to you guys for dropping in here. We right now are just going to bid you a very goodbye. And again, thanks for all of the guys coming around.
Merry
We're delighted. Good 1983 to you. We're certainly looking forward to that. It's going to be a big one, and I'm sure for each and every one of you. Appreciate you joining us for this special holiday championship wrestling. And by golly, we are looking forward to 1983 with zest because of you. Thanks again, and we're going to get back here and talk with all of the guys that I know you're going to be wanting to see in the coming year. And again, very good luck to you and a happy new year indeed.
I love you, pretty baby.
Produced by Championship Wrestling, director J.W. Jarrett. Post-production, Randy West. Graphics, Philip Everett. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have just witnessed the end of 1982. Next week will be the first show of 1983, and we will be watching the first of the first. So that is going to be next week's show. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Please do not forget to stay to the end, and you can hear the full uncensored audio from Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler when they appeared on the Letterman Show in July 1982. That is playing because of the announcement as we are recording that Andy Kaufman is going into the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame. It's a pretty decent Hall of Fame at the minute. As announced so far, it's been Rey Mysterio, the Great Muta, and Andy Kaufman. I'd imagine still with a couple of weeks left, there will be a few more announcements. Hopefully they will not disappoint. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Please do not forget to follow us on Twitter, at MemphisCast, where you'll be able to get news of the show and also our other show, our sister show, if you will, the Monday Night Project, available each and every Monday here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network or on our free feed. You can follow the network at PTBN Wrestling on Twitter. And if you want to subscribe to the network, you will get a brand new show on a near daily basis. There's shows covering the WWE, there's shows covering the WWF, there's shows covering the WCW, there's shows covering the NWA. If you listen to the sister network, the North-South Connection, there's shows covering Game Changer Wrestling, there's shows covering Ring of Honor, there's shows covering every plateau of wrestling that there is, both modern and old school. So thank you very much to the fine folk of Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you very much to Lance Russell, Dave Brown, and Jerry Jarrett, and until next time,
Memphis, Tennessee, Andy Kaufman, the actor, comedian, and intergender wrestling champion, had his first wrestling match with a member of his own sex. The opponent was a very serious wrestling favorite named Jerry Lawler. Here now are the results of that match.
Only the second move by Lawler, and bang goes Kaufman. It's going to be a disqualification. Danny Davis, his manager, not believing it. Jerry Lawler, 6 minutes and 50 seconds with a pile driver, has been disqualified. The winner by disqualification, Andy Kaufman.
Tonight, for the first time on network television, they meet face to face. Here are Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler. Go ahead and have a seat, if you will. First of all, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. Andy, let's take care of your neck injury. Now, when was the match? April 5th, right? Mm-hmm. And it's now almost August. Do you still need that neck brace on there?
Yes.
Yeah?
I do.
Are you in a lot of pain?
Well, I'm not in nearly as much pain as I was, and it's healing, but it's still enough to wear the brace.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. One of those kind of nagging, lingering injuries that...
I don't know what you call it, but I just have to wear the brace.
Now, when I see Jerry here, I've never seen the man in person before. To me, you'd have to be nuts to want to get into the ring with this guy. He appears to be maybe twice your weight, and he's better looking. I'm just teasing there, you know. But what was your motivation for wanting to fight him?
Well, I had had so many matches with women, and I always won, and I started really believing that I was a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'd beaten women the bigger than him. I really thought that I could beat him. And I also, when I started getting worried and thinking maybe I couldn't beat him, I thought I would just run away from him the whole time. Uh-huh. I couldn't do
now,
that.
Now, Jerry, was there ever any doubt in your mind that you would have any difficulty wrestling Andy?
Not really. No doubt at all. You see, I don't want to sit out here and pretend that I'm friends with this guy because I think he's a wimp. You see, when Andy was born, his father wanted a boy and his mother wanted a girl, and they were both satisfied.
Now, just a point of order here. I don't know a great deal about wrestling, but it looks to me like you gave Andy that second pile driver after the bell. Now, that didn't seem like a really sportsmanlike thing to do.
See, I notice a small smattering of boos from the audience and everything, and I think that the people have gotten the wrong impression from all of this. You say that wasn't a sportsmanlike thing to do, but everybody that sees Andy Kaufman the way he is now, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, very lovable, the Latka character and everything, this is not the Andy Kaufman that I saw, because he sent a lot of interviews and clips into Memphis insulting me.
As I recall, Andy, you kind of just egged him into this, didn't you?
I was just teasing in fun.
Just teasing in fun.
I brought some of the small clips of things that he said about me, about some of the women that
okay.
he wrestled.
All right, so let's take a look at some of Andy's harassing work that Jerry Lawler had to endure via the United States mails. Some videotapes. You made these yourself, right, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you and Lawler, you think you're really being smart. And so, look, I'm from Hollywood. That's where we make movies and TV shows. I tape Taxi in Hollywood. I make movies in Hollywood, okay? Yeah. I'm not from down here in Memphis, Tennessee, okay? I'm from Hollywood, and I want to have the respect that I deserve. When I come here, I want people to respect me because I am a star. I am a Hollywood star. You got that? You know what, Mr. Lawler? I've heard all these things you've been saying about me on television. You want to wrestle me? You want to wrestle me, Memphis style? All right, fine.
I'm going to send you back to the kitchen where you belong. I'm going to have you scrubbing the potatoes and washing the carriage. Because that's where you belong.
Matter of fact, they're probably smarter than you because you don't have any brains. You're from Memphis, Tennessee. All you do is plow the fields and farm and farm and blue. Is that how you talk from Memphis, Tennessee, Mr. Lawler? Boo. See, Mr. Lawler, you don't have any brains. I'm from Hollywood. I have the brains. That's how I win my matches. I say the bigger they come, the harder they fall. You might be twice as big as me, but I've wrestled women that are twice as big as me, and I've mopped the floor with them. And that's what I'm going to do with you, Mr. Lawler.
Well, we'll pause here and regroup. We're going to take a time out for a commercial.
You could be mad when you see something like that.
Well, we'll
I was
continue,
just kidding.
We'll continue this discussion right after you folks at home take a look at this. Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman are here, and we saw the tapes that allegedly provoked Mr. Lawler into the match. Andy, why did you do that? That didn't seem like a very nice thing to do.
I don't see how you could get a person could get so mad from that. I was playing bad guy. That's what I was doing. I was playing bad guy wrestler. It was a role I was playing. I wasn't serious about it. I don't take things like that seriously. Like, I am a star. I'm from, that was just a role I was playing.
Yeah. You know? So in your estimation, Jerry,
and he and I think that he just was taking it too seriously.
You think he owes you an apology?
Look,
then.
I always said you didn't have a sense of humor, and here the people are all laughing at it. Mm-hmm. So it proves my point.
Yeah.
That's why I came here. It was because I asked for an apology. I apologized for all the wrestling I've ever done, all the abuse I've ever given to people that didn't understand what I was doing, and I simply think that apology is in order.
So it's come to this, has it, Andy? You want Jerry to apologize. Uh-huh. Now, is this the way, would that be an equitable thing as far as you're concerned?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I owe him an apology. I think, you know, he says it was all a big joke. I'm sure it was to him. I think he came down there with the intention of...
Did you want to hurt him?
Well, yeah. I thought I had to hurt him.
In all the matches I ever had against 400 women, I'll tell you, I was bigger than most of them, a lot bigger, and I never, not one time did anyone ever get hurt. Mm-hmm. I never had to prove anything. I never had to hurt. I was always very gentle with everybody I wrestled.
Listen, you know, it's something that I take very seriously. It's the way I make my living, and he comes in making a joke out of it. He did it all for publicity. That's why he's still wearing, I don't know if it's a neck brace or a flea collar. I mean, you know, it's...
I was in the hospital.
He's milking it for every bit of publicity he can get. That's all he's doing.
I had to spend 3 days in the hospital in traction, and I was given this neck brace in the hospital. It's a very real neck brace. It's a real thing, and it's something.
It's been 5 months ago.
Yeah, it seems.
But
a
people
little...
been in car wrecks another. You know. Yeah.
I just don't think that there was any. It wasn't really called for to do. You could have. I could have been killed, and I could have been had my neck broken.
But on the other hand, I mean, nobody actually forced you into the ring. You know.
That's right. I don't come out here and try to do stand-up comedy or anything like that. You know, I'm a wrestler. You're a comedian.
If you were the man that you think that you are, then you'd apologize. You're the man that you think that you say you are. Because you're always talking about being a sportsman and how you're such a
I never say athlete. Anything about being a sportsman.
Let me.
Well, I thought you're a professional athlete. You could. You're always talking about sportsmanship, and sportsmanship isn't just to isn't
that's right.
To go in the ring.
Athlete.
And if it's a professional
you're a
sport,
comedian, you should stay telling jokes.
Sport.
And like that.
You don't
stay
have to go in the ring. Yeah. Well, I was going in the ring, and this is something that I was doing, and it was no reason
as
to hurt
joke,
me.
Right. It's
yeah,
not a
well,
joke.
As
to
a
me.
Joke. Yeah.
Well, it's not a joke.
Well, it wasn't a joke.
Did you laugh after when you were laying in the hospital? Was a joke then?
No, it wasn't. But there wasn't any reason to purposely hurt me. You could have proven the point by just beating me. You want to prove what a big man you are.
Let me just clear up one point here. There are a lot of people watching who probably view wrestling as being a show, a display, a demonstration, and this may be as the pinnacle representation of that. It was this thing... fixed or rigged? Are you guys really friends? Was it
no,
a scam?
No, not at all. I couldn't warm up to this guy. We were cremated together. He is a wimp. That's exactly what he thought. That's what he thought about wrestling. He thinks it's all a big joke, a big fix or whatever. And then you're right. There are a lot of
as
people
I'm
that think that.
You're nothing but a redneck.
Well, there's...
And you're just trying to prove a point because I was a Yankee and I heard this from so many people in Memphis. I was going down there and because
there
you believed all
people,
that stuff
like
I that I was...
There are a lot of people that think that, David. And he was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I did to Andy
and
exactly what
I
would like to do to everybody that thinks that way.
You're lucky I didn't sue you.
It was a chance to show him exactly what it's really like.
If there were... Would you?
Really because let me tell you something. My father said, my manager said, they all said that I had a right. I could have gotten a lawyer and I could have sued you for what you did, and I didn't. And I just, all I want is an apology. Even you asked me last time I was on your show if I was going to have a
that's
lawsuit,
right,
and I could have sued you. I could have sued you for everything you're worth.
Well,
and I didn't because I'm not that kind of a guy.
Yeah. You know what?
What kind of a guy are you?
No. You're not the kind of guy you're.
I'll just be over here. We're going to pause here for station identification and get the hoses out here.
No.
Hi there, and welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. As you can tell, Andy Kaufman is here, sort of, and Jerry Lawler is also here, and there's some nights I wish Tom were here, but that's not the case. Is Andy, are you coming in here again, or?
I am sick of this bullshit. You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass. You're a motherfucking asshole, as far as I'm concerned. You hear me? A fucking asshole! Fuck you! I will get you for this! I am sorry to you! use those words on television, I apologize to all my fans. I'm sorry. But you're a fucking asshole! A fucking asshole!
I think you can use some of those words on TV. I'm not. But what you can't do is throw coffee. I've said it over and over again. Well, that about wraps this segment up. I want to thank my guests, Mr. Lawler. Jerry, thank you very much for being here, and good luck to you, sir. And my thanks to Andy Kaufman. Well. Okay.